At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
The Jason Lee Podcast.
Welcome back to our new episode of Jason Lee Podcast. And it is our 100th show.
Period.
How do we count these? By posting the clips and the...
Yes, by episode. By every episode is 100.
Mm-hmm. Well, welcome to our 100th show. And my hair is combed, so obviously I'm feeling a lot better. Just want to say that it is still hot. It's not... I don't even know what's going on with the weather. We know that climate change and climate issues are real, even though the White House doesn't believe that. It is still hot. Shouldn't it be getting cool now?
Yeah, even in Chicago. Yeah, yeah. Even in Chicago, they were saying it's hot. It's not humid, but it's still hot everywhere.
Well, I remember back when I moved to LA, when I first had moved to LA years ago, I remember it would get up to 118 degrees during summer, and it would stay hot all year long. It would probably rain no more than 3 weeks in the whole year. Now we do get lots of rain here in Los Angeles, although it's not raining today, and it is really hot. I'm still congested. I know for those of you watching, it's like the days are spread out. It hasn't been as long as it probably appears. I had to call my cousin today because I had an ache in my back, and you know I'm a hypochondriac, so I thought it was, you know, pancreatic cancer, even though pancreas is up front.
Oh my God.
So I had to do a bunch of tests. She said, punch yourself in the back, and if it doesn't hurt, it's not your kidney. So I punched myself, and it's not my kidney. Anyway, congratulations to Cardi B. Cardi B has revealed what I've known for months now and have not been able to say. We've known because, of course, Cardi, although I don't go and tell the world, I do tell people at the office that you were pregnant. She sat down and did the big reveal with Gayle King as part of her rollout for her album, Am I the Drama? Which, by the way, Cardi, you are absolutely all the drama. This album is perfectly titled. And anyway, she talked about, well, she opened up about the pregnancy. Here's what she said.
I want to start right away with, you know, because the rumors on the streets be talking.
Mm-hmm.
And so the latest rumor about you is that you are having a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to know what, if anything, you want to share about that with the class.
Well, yes, I am. I'm having a baby with my boyfriend, Stefan Diggs.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations. How are you feeling about that? And that this will be baby number four for you, Cardi.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm excited. I'm happy. I feel like I'm in a good space. I feel very strong. I feel very powerful that I'm doing all this work, but I'm doing all this work while I'm creating a baby. Me and my man, we're very supportive of each other. We're like in the same space in our careers. But like in different, you know.
By that, what do you mean by that same space? That you're both doing well? What do you mean?
You know what it is? That I feel like we're really great and one of the best at what we do. And me and him think the same way. Like, it's like, yeah, we're one of the greatest, but what's next? What are we doing again? We do it again. We have to do it again all the time. We're never like comfortable. We just want to keep doing it. And that's just how we both are.
Is the baby, I'm not asking for your due date, but is baby coming this year or next?
It's coming before my tour.
Before your tour? When's your tour?
In February.
Whoa, mm-hmm. Cardi.
Yeah.
You're going to go on tour in February?
Yeah.
You ready?
I'm very ready. Even while I'm pregnant, I'm very, very ready.
Tell me about that.
Because I'm getting my body ready. Like I stretch it out. I stretch. So as soon as I give birth, the tour rehearsal starts. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I don't come from weak women.
You don't?
No.
There is nothing weak about you.
No.
Nothing.
Again, congratulations. Mm-hmm. And we can now be very clear that it is not Offset's fourth child with her. It is Stefan's child. And I ain't gonna lie, Cardi, I have not talked to you yet today. I did text you. But anyway, I have been peeking through the comments to see what people are saying, and I will hold the conversation for whenever you make it to the Jason Lee Show. We've invited Cardi to the show next week to wrap up our season 3 over at the Zeus Network, and we're waiting for her to get in the hot seat, because at this point now we can do a full wide shot of you and the belly. I went to her video shoot a couple weeks ago, without revealing the creative, I mean, she's glowing pregnant. She's very beautiful. But I feel like we just met Blossom, right?
Yeah, Blossom, she just turned one.
We just met Blossom. Mm-hmm. I mean,
we just got
world,
revealed. Yeah.
I've known Blossom, of course, but I mean, the world just met Blossom, and now she's blossoming into baby number four. This is going to be a very interesting, exciting time for the mom to be. We have not heard from Offset. He's not sent any congratulatory comments yet.
Not a one. I just wonder if, you know, the tour is about to start too. She announced, so I'm like, is it going to be a bump in the tour? Is she going to give birth?
Oh, no. I saw the dates on the tour. She'll have the baby by then. Hey. I posted on my Facebook today, all my friends are pregnant. Between her and Rihanna, I can't see anybody. I can't do anything fabulous because they're both.
Facts.
Rihanna's about to, she's about to.
Pop.
Yeah. I saw she posted, Rihanna posted this photo today on Instagram. Well, and you know, she's looking really hot there too. And she said her soon to be next fashion killer, because you know the baby's going to be dripping in something Fenty. All right. Anyway, congratulations to you, Cardi, and congratulations on the rollout. Cardi's been everywhere,
killing it.
This is like what I've been wanting to see, because I feel like a lot of artists that are successful A-listers, they just think they don't have to put in no work. She's in the trains. She's out on the sidewalk in her flip-flops. She's going to every show, podcast big or small, everywhere.
I am praying that this album does well, only because I know Cardi and I know the hate that Cardi has waiting for her to fail. She's not missed a beat yet, but everybody is waiting for, not everybody, but the haters. Every hater that she has is waiting for her to fail, waiting for her to flop. And look, at the end of the day, the fact that she's been able to have the major success she had with Invasion of Privacy, raise three beautiful children, you know, leave a marriage that she wasn't happy in to pursue her own happiness, now having another child and seemingly in a happy relationship, and launching another album after so much success, the Grammy win and all that. I mean, I'm just happy to see her dropping something. And I'm hoping that it is successful, and I will be doing everything to help her, and hopefully everybody else does. But when you do a rollout like that, I think the pressure is even more massive for it to be successful, right? Because if you do all of that rollout and it doesn't hit, then what?
I agree, because it's like, you know, when they do a lot of promo for movies and then the movie's just a big flop, like that's how sometimes it works with music, but.
Right. And it's unfortunate, but you know, the market, I will say to anybody putting out music's defense right now, Tyler doing 3,000 albums, I'm sure she has more than 3,000 friends who could have bought an album.
Well, hopefully
right?
this song, yeah. She's about to be on Cardi's album too, so hopefully.
Saweetie did like 2,000 copies. They turned her album into a mixtape. She still hasn't dropped a full studio album, right?
But the thing about Cardi is, even though she's had so much time between these albums, she manages to keep herself relevant all the time.
Yeah.
So Cardi's always in our conversations.
I wonder why she wouldn't drop a Spanish version of it too. So that way she could hit all her, you know, cousins' countries and all that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And why the hell is Chris Brown's Instagram and all his social media deactivated? I mean, all of you are harassing Chris Brown. Chris has been having such a phenomenal year. Let me just say this. First of all, Chris, let me give you a round of applause on all of the work that you've been doing. Chris is doing a lot of amazing things. This tour has been sold out, selling out arenas, stadiums. You know, he's staying out of trouble. He's healthy. He's raising his children. He got freed from the jail in London so he can continue his tour. And yet and still now he's deactivating his account. Now, I will say the only kind of thing I saw online was, you know, he did the dance with the girl who used to date,
Kayla.
You know, Kayla Nicole, right? Mm-hmm. She was Kelsey's ex. Kelsey, what's his name?
Travis
Kelsey, who's now engaged to Taylor Swift, which I know. Anyway, she was on stage dancing with Chris Brown recently at a show. Take a look. Well, the paparazzi caught up with Carucci, who you know Chris used to be in love with, and they can't wait for a moment to try to take us all back to the Stone Age when they used to date. They stopped her at LAX and asked her a question about the dance. Take a look.
No, you hate to talk about CB, but there was, you know, Travis Kelce's ex, Kayla Nicole. She's like a model. Anyway, she was at, there's this video of her at Chris Brown's concert.
She let you have fun.
You saw her then?
It's
everywhere. So she basically said, like, you know, anyone had something to say about it, like, she did it for her as a woman, like, you know, just for, you know, for herself, for her teenage self that used to be a fan and, you know, all this. What do you think, like, I mean, you know, you have your story with that. Like, when you see another girl, like, kind of, like, maybe, like, giving love, to, you know?
It's not my business.
I feel it.
She let you have fun. That's what they do.
Hey, well, any message to Kayla?
Yeah, you did that.
Like, we've seen other girls on stage and all that. That was maybe the best. She killed that. Opinion.
I'm trying to be a positive person. I don't like when most negativity or being a leader of any of that. It's like, for what? So.
And at least Karrueche, you know, she's unbothered because none of us care. This was so long ago. Chris doesn't care, but it's like you guys are continuing to bring up his past, which I'm sure is very triggering. Chris, shake off the haters. Keep doing what you're doing. We're rooting for you over here, and we're so proud of you, and congratulations on all your success. All right, now let's get to the tea with Jason Lee. We're all turning the page like you all need to allow Chris Brown. All right. Well, one thing that's not going to turn the page is this topic because it keeps coming up. Charlie Kirk. Now, there's more updates to his assassination. As you all know, he's remained in the news cycle now for a week after the 31-year-old conservative activist was assassinated in broad daylight on camera, and we all watched that. In the last episode, we recapped all of Charlie's past inflammatory and race-baiting remarks and recapped the conflicting comments many had on social media. Even myself, I wasn't somebody who consumed a lot of Charlie Kirk stuff. I gave him a lot of grace during the last podcast, and I still stand behind the fact that nobody in America or anywhere in the world who gives their opinion should be assassinated because of that. What I will say is he was a vile, disgusting human being. And that is, two things can be true. You can believe that a person that says and does things that's really nasty, hurtful, and intentionally harming others is bad. And I think that's what Amanda Seales was getting at. I think she was just a lot more harsh in her criticism and lack of empathy. I think there can be a balance. And I can say I totally, absolutely disagree with everything that this man said and stood for, because what I think he was a caricature of what they want you to believe a pure American looks like. When you are a person that hates your neighbor or hates on people for being who they are or wanting everybody to be exactly like you are in under the veil of the Bible and Jesus Christ and all those things and the Latter-day Saints, then I think you're something beyond just a human being with an opinion. That still doesn't mean you need to be killed like that. And the man has a wife and a family. This has all turned into a mess. And I don't really know this man or what he stood for, anybody around him and what they stood for. I mean, you could see the clips and kind of have an idea, right? But my point is that when somebody like this tragically is murdered, I understand the feeling of wanting vindication immediately and to do all these things. But when you have such a massive platform like this, that fueled a lot of the energy that ended up in what we're talking about right now. One would want to kind of turn the noise down, at least get through the burial, and then regroup and figure out what your strategy is. They have hit the ground running. They are still going. And we also learned that the FBI arrested the suspect in Charlie's murder. And you know, he's since been identified as a 22-year-old Utah man named Tyler Robinson, who police said was turned in by his father. Let me show you a photo of the white man that killed the white man. And the reason why I bring up race, it's not that I'm race baiting. It's so many people are mad at black people, HBCU, this HBCU, that, when we ain't got nothing to do with it. We did not get invited to your picnic. We did not load up the rifle. We did not climb up the building. We did not take aim. We did not take him out. We weren't even there to take cover. But yet somehow we've been thrown in the conversation because it's so easy to divide everybody and make them weak while you're doing all the other sneaky shit. Well, anyway, it's also since been reported that the shooter's bullet casings reportedly have messages engraved that read, "Hey, fascist, and catch. And if you read this, you are gay. If you read this, you are gay," laughing my ass off. Alleged text between Tyler and his roommate, which they're saying is
allegedly
his boyfriend. I heard the person's trans and gay. I don't know what the person is. It's a roommate. Let's just call him a roommate for now. About Charlie's hatred. They've been revealed. Let me show you a photo of those texts real quick. Roommate, what? You're joking, right? Robinson, I am still okay, my love, but I'm stuck in Orem for a little while longer yet. Shouldn't be long until I can come home, but I gotta grab my rifle still. To be honest, I hope he'd keep this a secret until I died of old. I hope to keep this a secret until I died of old age. I am sorry to involve you. Roommate, you weren't the one who did it, right? Robinson, I am sorry. Roommate, I thought they caught the person. Robinson, no, they grabbed some crazy old dude and interrogated someone in similar clothing. I had planned to grab my rifle from the drop point shortly after, but most of that side of town got locked down. It's quiet, almost enough to get out, but there's one vehicle lingering. Here's another post. Why? Why did I do it? Yeah, I had enough of his hatred. Some hate can't be negotiated out. If I am able to grab my rifle unseen, I will have left no evidence. Going to attempt to retrieve it again. Hopefully they have moved on. I haven't seen anything about them finding it. Roommate, how long have you been planning this? A bit over a week, I believe. I can get close to it, but there is a squad car parked right by it. I think they already swept that spot, but I don't want to chance it. I'm wishing I had circled back and grabbed it as soon as I got my vehicle. More text. Can I say something before I get into the third text? Why are you putting all this in writing? Now, you know, when you do dirt, you don't leave prints. But obviously, you thought you were in love with this person who wasn't going to tell on you. Well, now the person's a witness because you've sent the thing. Anyway, put the third text back up. I'm worried what my old man would do if I didn't bring back Grandpa's rifle. I don't even know if it had a serial number, but it wouldn't trace to me. I worry about prints. I had to leave it in a bush where I changed outfits. Didn't have the ability or time to bring it with. I might have to abandon it and hope they don't find prints. How the fuck will I explain losing it to my old man? Only thing I left was the rifle wrapped in a towel. Remember how I was engraving bullets? The fucking messages are almost a big meme. If I see notices bulge UWU on Fox News, I might have a stroke. All right, I'm going to leave it. That really fucking sucks. So what do you think about all that? I mean, obviously, this white man killed this white man because he was tired of all his hate. He was clearly texting his roommate, which
allegedly,
those of us who were in the closet at an early age had lots of roommates, too. I had roommates. Hey, roommates. But roommate is a code word for boyfriend that I'm sleeping with. And, you know, obviously his father, from what I've heard, allegedly. Also MAGA and is strong MAGA follower. And I'm sure this kid had enough of it. So it's your own offspring that are killing you all off because they're sick of the hate. And somehow we got blamed for it. This is why we don't invite y'all to the cookouts, because this is the type of mixy shit y'all bring over. We don't need this energy. And now the boy is implicated. I'm thinking of the words. I don't know what. It's this foggy head cold. He implicated the boyfriend now in his whole plot, because he's talking about the elements of trying to cover up the crime and, you know, why he used Grandpa's old rifle. And the idea that Grandpa's old 1902 war rifle was used to kill this man is just really scary, too. But what do you make of all this noise and nonsense that this unfortunate death has created?
Yeah, I think kind of to your point earlier, this is the world that was kind of stirred up by the energy that was put out in that sphere. Like, again, like, and I don't think it's unfair to bring up race and say it was white on white crime, because had this been another situation, unfortunately, Charlie Kirk would have called it black on black crime.
We're going to call it, first of all, black on black crime doesn't exist.
Correct.
White people go in and shoot up school children. It's white on white crime. And that is what it is. We're not going to make the two, because racist white people created the term black on black crime. Okay. Crime, we all know, is based on proximity. But the Unabomber was what race?
White.
Okay. Timothy McVeigh that blew up the building?
White.
Who was sending all the anthrax?
Oh, I don't know.
White. Bernie Madoff that stole billions of dollars from white people.
White.
Okay.
Luigi Mangione.
White.
What I'm saying is, I'm not trying to race bait or rage bait. That is y'all's thing. I'm just calling out how I see it. We now know clearly that this is not an HBCU murder. Howard University did not say, go do this. We just saw recently that the woman who's the WWE wrestler woman who's over education has defunded HBCU and black colleges $300 million. Million or billion? A lot of money. So the point is that, you know, you don't want me to race bait or call out race or rage bait, but what the hell do you want me to do? Just act like race is not a factor? No, I'm going to call it what it is. And you know what? Hopefully I don't get assassinated for saying my opinion. He shouldn't be assassinated. He should have been able to say what he was saying, because sometimes you need that ignorance to be able to point to and say, this is not who we are. Now, I will say in this case, he's somebody who's decent looking. Mm-hmm. He is has the perfect family, the wife with the two children. He was packaged well for his brand. He's very articulate. The fact that he comes from nothing like me and is able to say, look, I came from nothing, but I still made everything of the American dream or whatever that is. listen, I get it. He built a really solid brand. And for that, I give him his props. You can't take that from him. And he found people who believed in what he was saying and doing. And in many ways, they propped him up to be the face of a movement. And he successfully did that. And unfortunately, he died doing that. But when you go back and you look over all the stuff he said about Trayvon Martin, the stuff he said about almost everybody.
Palestine.
I mean, and now that they're trying to turn him into Martin Luther King. Stop it. Stop it. Mm-hmm. Well, elsewhere in the case, Utah County Attorney Jeff Gray has announced that prosecutors are they're going to seek the death penalty against Charlie Kirk's shooting suspect. This is what he had to say.
Today, after reviewing the evidence that law enforcement has collected thus far, I am filing a criminal information charging Tyler James Robinson, age 22, with the following crimes. Count one, aggravated murder, a capital offense, for intentionally or knowingly causing the death of Charlie Kirk under circumstances that created a great risk of death to others. Count two, felony discharge of a firearm, causing serious bodily injury, a first-degree felony. The state is further alleging aggravating factors on counts one and two because the defendant is believed to have targeted Charlie Kirk based on Charlie Kirk's political expression and did so knowing that children were present and would witness the homicide. The state is also charging defendant with count three, obstruction of justice, a second degree felony, for moving and concealing the rifle used in the shooting. Count four, obstruction of justice, a second degree felony for disposing the clothing he wore during the shooting. Count five, witness tampering, a third degree felony for directing his roommate to delete his incriminating texts. Count six, witness tampering, a third degree felony for directing his roommate to stay silent if police questioned him. And count seven, commission of a violent offense in the presence of a child, a class A misdemeanor, for committing homicide knowing that children were present and may have seen or heard the murder and did so based on Charlie Kirk's political expression. Also, following the press conference, I am filing a notice of intent to seek the death penalty.
Well, I'm glad that you're seeking the death penalty because I think if you murdered somebody, no matter how you feel about why he murdered or what he stood for, and yeah, he took one for the you kill somebody like that, you should seek the death penalty. But so should the people who hung the black kid at the campus recently. You know, there was a young black man hung in a tree in Mississippi, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'm hearing that there's two black men that have been hung.
Well, there was one white and one black.
Okay. Well, still, people hung in trees in 2025 is crazy work, right? Now, the one, Tyler Reed, who was hung in Mississippi, there's no real outrage, no candlelight vigils, no taking a moment of silence at all the NFL games. There's none of that happening. Only for Charlie. And I've been trying to really process why that is. Now, you know, part of me wants to give people grace and say it's not for race. It's because we witnessed him murdered online and that virality of it and how big it is in the world and like being able to see somebody get murdered. It's very jarring and it is like you didn't see the person hanging in the tree. You know that they were hung in a tree, which is equally as gross and crazy and wild and violent and just sick, but you didn't see it. And so the virality is not there. But then the other part of me as a black man wants to say, it's cause he's white and the other one ain't cause he's black. What do you think?
I think it's absolutely based in race. I mean, there's so many circumstances around both situations that really fuel that opinion for me, specifically around Trey Reed. Like, it just came out that his family was told that he died in his bed in his dorm room, and they found out that he was hung in a tree from the news. So from the top down, they have been trying to cover up what happened to this boy, and now they're saying, and also saying it was no foul play, you know. So to me, they're covering up a crime to protect whoever is involved in it. Where on the opposite side, we have a man who, like you said, was vile and disgusting in the thing, in his opinions and views that affected many, many people. And we see white people and conservative people and Christians across the board trying to whitewash everything that he said and trying to excuse the things that he said and trying to say, oh, you just don't understand the context behind what he said, when the words that were coming out of his mouth on a consistent basis caused harm to people of color, women, LGBTQ people. And now they're trying to have a national holiday of mourning for him on his birthday every year. Like, it's clearly based in race.
Yeah.
I think a little of both can be true, because I do think that the world is sick and everything is so visual that I do think when things are caught on camera, it sticks to people and people want to advocate more. Because I do always wonder too, if nobody recorded the George Floyd thing, I don't know if that would even be such a huge thing, because there was a long recording. So I feel like if Trey Reed was on video, it probably would be a bigger thing. It's sad that that's not even getting coverage, because that doesn't make sense to me. Like, a loss is a loss.
Well, also, the Epstein files aren't getting as much coverage. I just want to keep that out there. Now, meanwhile, Trump, who's been pedal stalling Charlie and holding him up in front of the world as a person who has just, you know, been gone too soon, and his family, you know, saying that they've lost the world's next king, missed his vigil. Now, as hundreds gathered in D.C., the president was chilling at his golf club in Jersey. However, Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt insisted that Trump had Charlie in his thoughts and loved him so much. Elsewhere, Charlie Kirk's wife, Erica, broke her silence about continuing his work. Take a look.
Evildoers responsible for my husband's assassination have no idea what they have done. They killed Charlie because he preached a message of patriotism, faith, and of God's merciful love. But they should all know this. If you thought that my husband's mission was powerful before, you have no idea. You have no idea what you just have unleashed across this entire country. In this world, you have no idea. You have no idea the fire that you have ignited within this wife. The cries of this widow will echo around the world like a battle cry. To everyone listening tonight across America, the movement my husband built will not die. It won't. I refuse to let that happen. It will not die. All of us will refuse to let that happen. No one will ever forget my husband's name, and I will make sure of it.
I mean, to me, this was like not just a cry out, but this was like a call out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, almost like the stand down, stand by kind of call out, right? Mm-hmm. Is that what it sounded like to you?
100%.
And I don't know that she should be in front of a camera right now. I think right now you should be grieving with your family, your kids, you know, really preparing for this this event that you all are going to have. My understanding is there's going to be something in Arizona at arena with 70 stadium with 72,000 people. I'm really concerned at what that's going to turn into. And I almost want to just read into the future that it's going to be something that further divides us. I don't see this as an event that's going to unify the country or the world, which I think would be a great moment to do so. I doubt that's going to happen. Well, joining Charlie's wife is Candace Owen, who's been speaking out a lot about her best friend and brother. While mourning him on her self-entitled podcast, she suggested that Charlie had a hit on him. And she also said that in the end, Charlie was fighting for custody of himself, suggesting he was owned and wanted to be free. Listen.
Yeah, in the end, Charlie was going through a spiritual transformation. I don't think it, I know it. He was going through a lot, and there was a lot of pressure. And it's hard for me to watch the people who were pressuring him, I don't know, just say the things that they're saying. You know, there's something about it that just feels really fake, to me. They would have allowed him to lose and wanted him to lose everything for changing or even slightly modifying an opinion, and then to see them doing what they're doing today, it's hurtful to me. It's very hurtful to me. We were really close. He was my best friend and my brother. And I will never unsee the footage of what I saw, the violence of it. I pray for the people who took any pleasure in that. I would never, there's not a single person in the world that I would wish that on. You know, I told you guys that Charlie was going through a spiritual transformation at the end, and all of the usual suspects were really angry that I hinted towards that. What do you mean? You're not allowed to say that. They were attacking me, trying to make me fearful to speak out and speak about the things that I know. I'm not feeling very fearful right now. I am, like I said, very angry. And I want to be very clear that I believe, in fact, I know that towards the end, Charlie was fighting for custody of himself. I want to say that. I want to say that plainly. And there are lies that are being told and they need to be slapped down right now.
Candace then continued to allege that Charlie was mixed up with some pretty powerful people. Take a look at what she said. Charlie Kirk was fighting with some very powerful billionaires that he took money from over things he was discussing. The pressure on him was immense over the last 2 weeks. The truth will be revealed, the messages will be leaked, and the movement he built up will rise. Candace also warned against any shills trying to replace the Turning Point USA CEO, and she had a lot to say about that. Listen.
Those of you who think that you are going to replace Charlie Kirk, okay? Kings are born. You don't just get to depose and tell us that we're going to follow this individual, okay? I'm one of the masons of Turning Point USA. You put a shill in Charlie Kirk's chair, in Charlie Kirk's company, and you try to tell us to follow that individual, I will be an enemy of you. There will be nothing that can stop me, okay? And I want you guys to understand, this is not a threat. This is a promise. There will be nothing that can stop me. I will release every single text message. So to those of you who are trying that, I'm seeing the messages, I am telling you to back off right now. Like right now, don't do it, okay? Don't you think about it. I know exactly who you are. I know exactly who you were that were exerting pressure. Don't you pretend to be noble now and say nice things about Charlie Kirk and think you're going to slide into his chair, okay? Over my dead body, which I'm sure can be arranged.
Again, this is white on white crime. this is not our business. Whatever, I mean, what do you think? I mean, Candace, they'll kill you too.
No, that's what I was going to say. I'm scared. I fell into a rabbit hole because one of these clips came up yesterday on my TikTok feed and I was going in. I don't want to say... There's a country that she's saying that like headed out
what
to
country?
Kill. It rhymes with Shmizreal. I don't want them to kill me.
Yeah, she said that they were involved. And they were yes. They offered him, what, how much money? 10 million?
They offered him, she didn't say like an exact amount. She didn't say an exact amount on the one that I saw. But she said that they offered her a lot of money. Because
offered her or him?
To him. And they were trying, Netanyahu was trying to get Charlie to go. And that they
wanted to work with Turning Point.
Because but his like stance on Israel kind of changed where he was kind of like speaking bad on them and like being pro Gaza and trying to save Gaza. And so that's what she is saying. And she said that she's going to stop at nothing to like release all these screenshots and texts and stuff.
So she believes that Israel is behind him being murdered.
She believes she mentioned Israel yes. And also billionaires who had previously given him money.
These Jewish billionaires.
To like spin the narrative that he put forward through Turning Point.
Okay. Well, first of all, Candace, you're already in trouble with France because you know what she said yes. About the French president's wife. You know,
she's not stopping that either. She's gladly taking them to court too with Brigitte.
I can't. Well, either way, I can't wait until this is out of the news cycle because we need to get back to some level of normalcy, although I don't know what normalcy is anymore. Again, I just want to end this topic with saying that I'm praying that we find more peace. You know, I want us to get back to a country in a world where we can say what needs to be said. We can say even the things that some would say don't need to be said, but have a debate in a way that's safe and that is inclusive of all. I just don't know how much longer this pressure pot can continue to have as much pressure in it. It's getting to a point to where it is overflowing. And now we have an assassination. We have Candace Owens saying she's going to call out Israel. I'm done. Okay, well, goodbye. All right, Coi Leray is in the news, and let's first start by saying congratulations because she is a mother.
And that baby is so cute.
single mother, but she's a mother. Coi Leray is not with Trippy anymore, and she's opening up now about co-parenting and all the cheating that allegedly happened.
Allegedly.
We don't know what happened between you and Trippy. Well, anyway, Coi Leray is opening up about her ex and child's father, Trippy Redd, in a new interview. They first started dating in 2019, then shortly split. By August of 2024, they reunited. And by January 1 of 2025, Coi revealed that she was pregnant with her first child and the dad is Trippy. Now, 21 days later, Coi announced Trippy cheated on her while she was pregnant. Take a look at her announcing, of course she announced it, the cheating. Look, nothing worse than being cheated on. I wouldn't wish this pain on my worst enemy. God bless. Now, mind you, she was pregnant when this happened. Now, in May, Coi had her baby shower, which Trippy was notably absent from, leaving fans to wonder if he was already showing signs of an absentee father or just wasn't invited. Then in June, Coi welcomed her first baby, Miyoko. Let me show you a photo of Coi and the baby. Hold on. Let's wait.
It's above me.
Wait. Let me. No, that was the wrong one. Okay.
Aww.
So cute. Ooh,
baby got hair. Well, while Coi previously addressed being cheated on her EP, What Happened to Forever, Coi is again opening up about her rocky relationship with Trippy Redd. She now tells Justin LaBoy she wishes she never went public about Trippy cheating. She also says that she and Trippy are absolutely not friends, just co-parents to their three-month-year-old daughter. Now take a listen.
Okay, so you're pregnant. You find out you're getting cheated on.
I honestly wish I didn't go public with it because it created so much more problems in my life personally, especially right. with the father of my child.
Right.
Because I don't wish bad on nobody, right?
Yeah.
But I was pregnant and I was vulnerable and I was like fucked up. It was a hard time to get through. But also when you have a big support system, you can get through anything. Mm. You put God first.
Yeah.
Feel me?
Yeah.
My best friend Nico is a beast. Yeah. He don't play about me.
Yeah.
Amina don't play about me. My mom don't play about me. My brothers. I have no sisters. I come from a family of all boys.
Right.
So that's what helps.
So you was pregnant and you went through that phone. That's yeah. how you found out you was getting cheated on.
I've said it in my song. It's on my EP. I've literally explained the whole entire situation. I'm not proud of what I've done as right. well, but I'm human. And I'm glad that I'm able to tell my story in music.
Yeah.
But I'm not proud of what I've done. And at the end of the day, regardless of whatever me and him went through, I just want us to just be the best co-parents that we could be for my daughter.
What is your relationship like right now?
Just co-parenting. Trying to figure it out. We're still new parents. So we're just trying to figure it out, literally.
So y'all friends, or do y'all talk?
We're not friends, absolutely not.
So y'all don't communicate, like how does it work?
We're co-parents.
But how does co-parenting work? Do you bring your kid to him?
Do you want to speak to your daughter? Do you want to see your daughter? If it has nothing to do with me. Co-parent is about the child. If it has everything to do with the child. If it ain't about the child, we don't give a fuck about each other. Like, we don't care about nothing. Like, long as our daughter is good and you are okay with, you feel me? You can see your daughter. My daughter is.
Yeah, good. I'm just asking. Do you drop your daughter off to him? Does he
lives
come
in another state, so not right now. And she's 3 months, so it's still early.
Closer to mom now.
Yeah, but we're working on as she gets older on how we're gonna, you know.
Yeah.
And I would love for her to go with her dad. I'm not one of them people that's gonna be like, oh no, you can't go with your dad. Like, I need my break. I would want her to be able to go with her dad. I mean, yeah, like,
so when's the last time she's seen her dad?
A couple weeks ago. I feel like, you know, me and my dad, we weren't the best of friends growing up. We didn't have the best relationship. And that's something I don't want my daughter to have. You know, I want right. my daughter to have the best relationship with her father, her grandfather.
Right.
Regardless of what I went through, I don't want to project, you know, my traumas onto her. So.
Coi also addressed Trippy's absence from her baby shower. Listen.
You had the baby shower and Trippy didn't even pull up. Like, I could just imagine how you felt in that moment. Can you
feel like anything? Why would you imagine that? Like, we're in 2000, we're in a different day and age. Like,
yeah.
At that time, I felt like, you know, I just want to be surrounded by love and good vibes, so right? And also, too, you got to understand, the internet is the internet, right? Everything right. is public. Yeah. You think my brothers want to fucking see him? You think my family want to see him? You think, okay. you feel me? After yeah. everything that's going on, like, they don't want to be around that. I don't yeah. want no problems. I'm celebrating my baby. Like, I think this is what that's the main focus, you know? Right.
So he wasn't invited to your baby shower?
No, he wasn't invited.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, he paid for it, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
I guess that's the least you could do in that situation. Right? Yeah.
W-Dad.
Yeah. Shout out to that. Because a lot of niggas ain't even doing that.
Facts.
At all.
Facts.
But okay, now you single.
First of all, let me just say, you look gorgeous. Mm-hmm. I always want to start with something positive. And people always say we say nothing positive. We say a lot of positive things on this show. And by the way, I don't think we've said anything critical yet. But, you know, congratulations. You're very beautiful and the baby's beautiful. And I'm glad that you had a healthy baby. When are y'all going to stop allowing yourselves to be turned into baby mama's doll? That's the one thing that I, you know, when I think about all of my sisters, none of them were baby mamas. None of them. And I don't, are we just turning into an era where like being a baby mama is a thing? And I'm not saying this to coy as a bad thing for you per se, because it sounds like your man cheated on you and turned you into a baby mama. It sounds like we need Dr. Brian on the scene. I don't know. But is it because she chose the type of man? I mean, you look at Trippy, and Trippy, you know, I like you. But I mean, he doesn't look like the type that's going to go walk down the altar with you and like make you a wife, right?
Yeah, he does not.
He's also, I just checked, a couple years younger. So maybe he's not ready for a marriage.
Duh. Hello. I mean, do you look
trying
at him?
Trying to be nice about it.
His name is Trippy. Are you tripping? Of course he's not ready. So she kind of selected a guy that, I mean, to Dr. Brian's point, she kind of selected a guy that she was going to create a broken family, right? I'm glad that they're able at least to be able to co-parent, because Coy does deserve to have a father in her life, because we all know you and Benzino have had a very broken relationship, and we've seen what that broken relationship has produced. We've seen all of the drama online between you and your dad, and I'm sure somewhere deep down inside your beautiful soul, you don't want to create or recreate the same experience for your kid. I'm confident, though, you know, you're going to figure this out, because once you kind of go through things your own, like I've gone through stuff with my parents, which is why I don't have any children, because I don't think that I'm ready to have a kid. And as much as people want me to, I would want to be the perfect parent, although that's probably not even a real thing either. Anyways, but this is not the perfect situation. But it sounds like you're making something of it. It's just unfortunate to watch. Now, they did say, all that said, they did say that Coy Leray, there are rumors online that Coy Leray and Justin LaBoy might be dating. Did you see
that's
that?
That's what they said, but I feel like that's just like trolling to like promote this episode, I feel like.
Take a look at this photo that was posted to promote the interview. I mean, it looks...
And he looks good now. He looks better than when he was running around with Kanye. Justin...
He's still running around with Kanye. Ain't nobody... No, listen, is that what they said?
I don't know. That's what I thought.
Let me tell you
Who
something.
Who knows these days, but
Justin LaBoy, you know I know you. We know where that butter is breaded. That bread is buttered or
what
whatever.
Is that?
We know where the bread and butter. I'm just saying, like, you know, Justin LaBoy, Kanye was funding that thing, that machine, funding it. Mm. You know, he was giving the money. Well,
allegedly.
But either way, I'm happy for Justin and all his success with his show. And I'm glad that Coy is doing interviews. Bring your ass over here. Bring the baby. All right, that's it. All right, Nick Cannon is in the news, and no, he's not having another baby.
It was all a lie.
At least not that we know of. Maybe somebody somewhere in the world is pregnant by Nick, because he is pretty fertile. Well, is he fertile? He could be fertile. The man could be fertile, right?
Yeah.
But don't they both got to be fertile to be?
You're not shooting blanks for sure.
I don't know how that works.
He's shooting the club
Nick up. Cannon is now admitting that having 12 children with 6 different women, baby mamas, was a trauma response following his divorce from Mariah Carey. Now, before we get into Nick's admission, let's get into his family tree. And we've already lived this out on the Jason Lee Show, but we're going to do it again for you right now, those of you who haven't been watching. Nick has twins, Moroccan and Moreau, with Mariah Carey. Take a look. The fact that we have to do this for somebody is insane. Nick, I'm going to need you to do better. Beautiful family. Okay. Now, Nick has Golden, Saigon, Powerful Queen, and Rise Messiah with Brittany Bell. Take a look. This is their family. Damn, he has beautiful families, huh? Okay. Now, with Alyssa Scott, Nick welcomes Zen, who sadly passed at 5 months from brain cancer, and then they welcomed a daughter, Halo Marie. Take a look. Gorgeous. Okay. And then Nick has another set of twins, Zion, I'm not even going to say the last name, and Zillion, Air, with Abby De La Rosa, and then also welcome to baby girl, beautiful Zeppelin. Take a look. Okay. And then Nick had a son, Legendary Love, with Brie. Take a look. Then Nick welcomed his 12th child, a girl named Onyx Ice Cole, with a sixth woman, Lanisha Cole. Take a look. Okay, first of all, I'm going to give myself a round of applause for getting through all that, because that group home of a presentation was just too much.
I feel like that's when you ask ChatGPT, like, can you give me like 12 no, really we're not, cool
no,
first
leave ChatGPT out of it. ChatGPT don't even want nothing to do with this. First of all, now that Nick has fathered 12 babies with six women, he's admitting that his super seam spreading ways might have been a trauma response after his divorce. Now, here's what he told The Breakfast Club. Listen.
You think having all those kids was a response to your trauma?
Yeah, 100. Now I'm learning that now. It wasn't like I was acting out. It was more of being careless, being frivolous with my process because I could do it, because mm-hmm. I had the money, because I had the access to whoever and however I wanted to move. And, you know, okay, they coming at me. They asking me, mm-hmm. opposed to like doing a mature thing and saying, hey, well, it probably makes more sense to do this. And then obviously life happens as well. So it wasn't like, oh, I'm gonna go have 12 kids. It was more about like, yo, I'm gonna just live life and have fun, and whatever happens, happens. I can handle it. Mm-hmm. When it probably, you know, being almost 45 now, I can sit back and be like, yeah, if I would have thought the process through a little bit more and took time to actually do the inner work, things might have been a little different in certain scenarios.
You wouldn't have 12 kids.
I don't know. You know what I mean? Like that's the only thing, because I've always said this, every child that I had was made out of love, mm-hmm. and there were strong relationships. It's just, if I would have did the work in the healing after getting divorced, I probably would have took my time in a lot of other scenarios. And for whatever reason, I thought that was the answer a lot of times. It was like, oh, well, I'm gonna figure it out over here, opposed to like, yo, now you're leaving trauma every step of the way, instead of, you know, fixing it from its origin, mm-hmm. and then being able to present itself. But then I mean, concepts like monogamy and stuff like that, I still feel the same way.
I was gonna ask you, has your view on that changed then?
Nah, not really. Not for me, you know. And that's the work of, you know, whether you want to go back to like Freud's process of like my childhood and my upbringing. I grew up in a very unorthodox situation and household, so I've always understood that, you know, love happens differently. Mm-hmm. So monogamy has never really been my thing, mm-hmm. but so that I'm pretty sure that plays a part of it as well too.
Listen, first of all, I'm going to give Nick a round of applause for being honest about monogamy not being this thing, because it's not mine either. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that even looks like right now. There's nobody even worthy of being a monogamous two right now. And this isn't the monogamy era, right?
No. I mean, well, for most people, I think it is. But I think people are just also open to alternative styles of relationships,
and it's okay.
Yeah, I think
we have to embrace it.
Yeah,
you know, I think it's the internal battle of wanting to have that one picture for Instagram, right? Me,
oh my, God,
my man, the, you know, Gucci and Chanel, and maybe like a little baby, even if it's a Cabbage Patch doll for the photo, right?
You already took a baby photo.
But the reality is that when you have a lot of love to give, you don't just, you know what I mean? Like, and Nick has a lot, and Nick, we've heard about it. You've won the Mandingo Hall of Fame Award. We've heard you have a lot of love to give, and you've given it a lot. But at least he's active in all his kids' lives, because, you know, he's figured out a co-parenting situation with all of them, and it seems to be working for him. But do you want to be the kid whose dad said you were a trauma response baby? I don't know.
No, but I love the fact that he's actually coming out and having this conversation and not just allowing people to think that, you know, this is some glorified situation that's just built out of him wanting to be cool. Like, I'm glad that he's publicly saying, look, this was a trauma response. And I think hopefully people will take a message from it. It's cheaper to go to therapy than to have 12 kids that you got to pay for until they turn 18.
And I feel like I'm happy that after all these years, he's finally saying what all the comments have said, because everyone's always been saying like something is causing you to spread your seed in this type of way. And he's finally like absorbing all that Dr. Brian told him. Also, I feel like it's very refreshing, even going back to Coi Leray. I love how now celebrities, I love when they own up to like, oh, I should not have posted this, that he cheated on me. I wish I didn't do this, or I wish I didn't have all these kids. Because I hate when celebrities are like, I have no regrets. Everything happens for a reason. Like, that's cool and all, but I like people taking accountability for being like, maybe this wasn't good.
Well, Nick has been honest from day one. He hasn't hid anything. And I think the other thing that's kind of, I mean, I'm going to say this, Nick, because this is what I hear. You're still madly in love with Mariah Carey, even through all these women, all that sex, all that shooting up the clubs, all those deliveries, all those Halloweens, all those Christmases, all those Thanksgivings, all those birthday parties. Every time you blew up a balloon, you were really thinking about Mariah Carey. Now, Mariah is dating Anderson Paak.
Anderson Paak, yeah.
Okay, she's dating Anderson Paak right now, who's been having her, you know, doing like regular stuff, like going to In-N-Out and walking down the street and like taking your sunglasses off at night. You know, he has her doing these normal things now or whatever. And she's kind of moved on, but still, that doesn't even look right for you, Mariah. No disrespect to Anderson. You and Mariah need to just go ahead and just take that one family cruise and take all the baby moms and all your other kids so they can all play together on the other side of the boat. And you are, don't shake your head. You don't get to decide. First of all, you can't even find your own true love.
I'm saying Mariah's not getting on the boat.
First of all, mind your business.
Kid.
You don't know Mariah Carey like I do. You get one phone call and all of a sudden you know what she wanted to do.
Rob said what he said.
Mariah and Nick, take that trip. Take all the kids. Put Moroccan and Moreau in charge of all the kids at the other side of the boat. Bring the other baby moms so they can have something to do and stay out your business. And find that love again. So that way we can stop reproducing, because this trauma bond that you both need to recreate needs to happen to prevent us from having to read off 13 or 14 more names.
Please. Do you think they have a family picture with all the kids together?
No. Mariah's not doing that.
But you just said she'd get on a boat with all the kids.
And I also said they'd be at the other side of the boat. Anyway, thank you, Nick, for being so vulnerable and open. Nick is one of the greatest people I know. Let me give you another round of applause. I love you, Nick. Nick is a great guy. And Nick doesn't get enough credit for how many people he's put on, by the way, or national crises and scandals like the Wild and Out Live that I found myself in right now. By the way, I did that investigation yesterday, the interview for that. I can't talk about it, I don't think. I can do what I want to do. What are they going to do? Do another investigation? You know, but I was kind of hot in the investigation because I felt like, you know, this is such a waste of taxpayer time and money, and it's such a waste and disrespect of the Wild and Out name, because these people didn't even want to come to Stockton. And the fact that they did it just to help boost the local economy and do something positive, and that's turned into such a negative thing, is so crazy. Anyway, I will be redeemed soon, and that press conference will be coming. Thank you, Nick. Bye. All right, Dame Dash is in the news. Dame, you put your teeth in one day and went to work and caused all this commotion. Why? This should be the opening of Cardi B's tour, Am I the Drama? Because you are the drama. You went up there, and it's so sad to see this legacy just continue to dwindle. I don't know what happened. At first, I thought maybe you and Charlamagne went in the back room and plotted out how to go viral, because this thing, when I saw it, I just kept shaking my head. For many reasons that I'm obviously going to talk about. Dame Dash went on our friend's show, The Breakfast Club, and came for Charlamagne Tha God in such a nasty, homophobic way, and showed signs of insecurity, in my opinion. And this is what a lot of you straight men, straight men do, okay? You go in these spaces and have these conversations, and it really does remove the veil that we think you all don't see slip. Well, he came for Charlamagne Tha God, and then his co-host returned the fire. Dame went on the show calling Charlamagne gay and not the proper representation for masculine black men, which I don't know what that is. What? Listen to what he said.
I don't think you're a proper representation of the masculine black man. You know what I'm saying? I don't think you guys are.
I'm listening.
Okay. Your OG is Wendy Williams. My OG is sitting right here. You see him? Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tell you why he's my OG. Because he's not because he killed anybody or any of those things. He just taught me how to be a better man.
Wendy, how, my
can, you
That's funny,
can you stop?
Wendy Williams is your OG.
Wasn't she your boss?
Yeah, at one point.
So
yeah.
She was your OG. She put you on, and you should give her grace. And you should also give her props out of respect.
Oh,
but because we have different trauma. Like, we're different. Like, I'm not the kind of guy that would, like, I'd rather get my ass whipped than run. But you're proud that you ran.
Yeah.
I'd rather get my ass whipped. And it ain't no disrespect, but I kind of think you're gay. You just act a little gay.
You got a problem with gay people?
Not at all. I've got a problem with people that pretend they're not gay. So let me tell you why. Let me tell you why.
You're gay. This is hilarious.
So what I'm saying is, you might, because you started in gossip, which is, you know, is very feminine, and you want people to listen to you, and that we want people that represent masculinity, because men need to be doing what they need to do as men. They don't need to be worried about girl stuff. Do you think he's masculine? Would you want this man around you if 10 guys jumped you? He'd run, and you'd have to run with him. I like my women to feel safe when they're around me. I don't tell people, like, and I'm not saying that's your way, but you're just not masculine. I've seen him run. I looked at a whole reel of, there's like a thing that says how many people bark. There's stuff that how many times you play with, talk about other people's genitals. You real masculine men don't do that. You said that some guys was kissing, throwing you kisses because they liked your paws butt, and you went back. That's gay.
Why do you have such a problem with gay?
I don't have
people?
A problem. I have a problem with
that's
you. Wait, no. Crazy, yeah, that is why I pause. There's a lot of people like you. There's a lot of people like you that are gay that don't pretend they're not.
Black men can't be gay.
Black men that are gay should say they're gay.
Well, I'm not gay.
You are. You're gay. No, anyway. Now let me talk
then
to you.
Broke.
Let me
ask you. Broke.
Let me say this. You
babe,
acting like a girl.
You move like an old auntie. You an old Harlem auntie.
I could punch you right in your face like a grown man. I won't. And you won't do shit.
See, Dame, this is with Jack Patty. So just
that's
so you know,
because he was
gonna say, I've seen you run. That's it. I've seen you. I'm not saying I will. I'm saying no. Then your version of respectful is different than mine. We were on the street right now, and you were talking like that. I would have fucked you up. But I'm not gonna do that. Nah, I wouldn't have got beat up. But no, I wouldn't have got beat up. Let's end this. So let me say one more thing before I leave.
I have so many questions.
All right. Oh, you're right.
How do you want to leave? You can't get in your emotions and want to leave, Dane.
No, what I'm saying is, when you interrupt me and you say certain things, so where I'm from, the masculine man would fuck you up.
Yeah,
but because, wait, let me finish. No, I didn't.
You know
I said,
that's not gonna happen.
I didn't say that. I said, I could, and you wouldn't do anything.
And we will fight.
I didn't see that on tape. You ran.
Yeah, because it was four guys, but that's cool.
I asked what happened when 30 guys jumped me.
Respect.
I got that ass whipping, respect. But I fucked them niggas up.
I think it's been some head trauma ever since.
Yeah. Hey, yo, pause. Come on.
So much to unpack with that whole thing. First of all, Dame Dash, can you afford to get out of jail? Would you have really fought him? I mean, fighting over what? Because of a conversation? What I think a lot of us who are gay are tired of is the hypersensitive masculinity hypersensitive fragile masculinity that a lot of you alleged straight men have. I think for me, I know more transsexuals and more gay men that would absolutely throw down with you and probably beat your ass just to keep it 1,000. I don't know where this whole masculine, feminine, and what any of that has to do with somebody who would fight you or even take your life for disrespecting them. So I think we need to just have a reality check for a moment on that, because I think counting gay people out because somehow that boosts your testosterone or makes you feel more like a man is kind of crazy. And I have had nothing but positive interactions when I have seen Dame one or two times in my whole life. And I've never had a bad thing to say about you, but watching you go down like this and call Charlamagne crazy or call him gay, to go on his show and call him gay is crazy. To say that gossip thing or gossiping is somehow a gay thing when Howard Stern, there's a lot of people who are in the space of talking about what's happening in culture, pop culture, entertainment. And why does it need to be a gay thing? Why does it need to be a feminine thing? So what if Wendy Williams put him on? Nobody put me on, but I look up to Charlamagne and Wendy Williams as people who've kind of paved the way. And yes, I happen to be gay, but I didn't take up this career because I was gay. I just thought that was very ignorant of you to say. And then to say that he should have fought those guys that were trying to jump him and gone out like a man. Fleeing from being attacked, why does that have to make you soft? That to me is some old school deranged hood culture thing that somebody taught you and you're now trying to pass on to a generation that it clearly doesn't agree. What do you think about what he said?
It really felt to me like he came up there to have some gotcha moment with Charlamagne, and the crash out came when it didn't go the way he was expecting, because everybody was literally laughing in his face because he became a joke in the moment. And to me, what you brought up too was the fact that he was like, oh, you've made a career in gossip, but you're literally sitting here gossiping about him on his show, calling him gay, bringing up when he ran from a fight. All you're doing is bringing up gossip points to try to have a gotcha moment. So it just kind of made him look worse, and he just hit a little crash out.
But I feel like as I loved how unhinged this was, I watched this like 3 times because I get so sick of these like very cookie cutter interviews. Like, what are you promoting today? Your new book? Like, this was so unhinged and great. And I feel like we also need to talk about how well Charlamagne like turned that whole thing. Cause even when he was like, you're gay, and then Charlamagne right away was like, if I'm gay, you're broke. It was too much. It was just all unhinged. Like, Charlamagne really handled that very well.
Well, I mean, yeah, if you look at it from the context of interview style and interview etiquette, Charlamagne handled it well. I mean, you know, when you're interviewing somebody that's unhinged, I remember the time I interviewed Boontgang and he pulled a gun on me, or when I interviewed, you know, that woman who was talking about, you know, my mother and all that. You do have to stay in the interview. You have to stay in it, and you have to be able to make sure you're staying in control of it. Mm-hmm. Even when people are out of control. Clearly, Dame wanted to have a moment like, what's the guy's name from Lil Wayne, Baby. He wanted to have his baby moment.
Birdman?
Yeah, he wanted to have his Birdman moment, and he got it. I mean, he went viral, but I mean, the joke is on you, because on the same show, Dame also claimed he was now the chairman at Revolt. However, Breakfast Club co-host Lauren LaRosa later reported that was a lie. And here's what Dame said first. Listen.
So if you have a contract, especially working here, and somebody sent a bum letter, as soon as it's a lawyer, it shuts down. Mm-hmm. It muddies the waters. I was about to make some major announcements. You want to hear one?
Sure.
I'm now the chairman of Revolt right now, and I also I have 15.
You don't deserve to be the chairman of Revolt.
I got you. So I'm now the chairman of Revolt with a pathway. You see, because he wants to trigger me, and I want you to acknowledge that. So I'm now Cam's boss, the chairman of Revolt with a pathway to acquisition. I've been trying to buy
now,
Revolt.
How do we know this is not Cap? We didn't see this on deadline.
Can you stop yelling? Can you stop interrupting me, please? So deadline didn't make the announcement for this particular situation. They didn't want to. I had an announcement I was going to make with BT.
Lauren, great reporting. Also, shout out to DeTavio, my friend who's the CEO and over at Revolt. You remember DeTavio?
Yes.
DeTavio released an email to his staff, and it ended up on the Shade Room, and it basically said, this person, wait, hold on, I'm going to say what he said. Hold on, where's it at?
I don't know her.
Now, here's Laura LaRosa's reporting. Take a look. I just spoke to a lead publicist at Revolt who confirms to me Dame Dash is not the chairman of the network. Is that just embarrassing on top of like the visual art that we saw in the interview?
Oh my God. Yes, but I just need to know why. Like, what is the purpose of that? Like, you don't think you can just look that up? That's not like a secret. You can just lie and be like, oh, I wrote
in the interview, to your point, which you said Charlamagne was like staying in it and taking little jabs. Charlamagne said, why didn't we see this on Deadline? Anytime there's any type of big announcement, as you know, it's on Deadline or Variety. Mm-hmm. Somebody puts it out as an industry update. Shit. Hollywood Reporter. We ain't even see it on Hollywood Unlocked, okay? And I'm just saying, that was kind of a big, bold thing to say in public, knowing that it was going to send a rippling effect.
What the back heck? Time. That's why he's just trolling the troll with his teeth.
Dame told Instagram he was the chairman for the month, and that if he acquires Revolt, he will be the official chairman, and to stop playing with his words and take the L. Here's more of what he had to say. Charlamagne, I would advise you not to make up phony sources without real names saying that anything I said was not true, or we will have a legal problem. Don't try to compromise my reputation. I have proof to support everything I say that will stand up in any court. Well, Dame then had Vibe magazine break the news of him being named Revolt TV chairman, claiming checkmate. He also shared an alleged text and email with Revolt CEO DeTavio Sammons, but fans said Dame made himself look even worse. Take a look. He said, not my YouTube channel, my network. Also, is there a pathway to own? And then he said, but I'm cool with it. It's just for bosses take losses to start. And then there's an email from DeTavio to Dame and somebody else that says, so-and-so, meet Dame Dash. He's interested in Revolt and has eyes on the money. Dame, meet blank. He's leading the process for us at Revolt. I mean, that doesn't say that he's going to buy it. It doesn't say that he's on the way to buying it. I mean, we're in discussion about buying networks and buying things, but I'm not going to put anything out. I wouldn't even talk about it. Why? Because what if I came out here right now and said, I'm getting ready to buy X, and then tomorrow it sells to somebody else? You look stupid. You wait until the deal's done. You know that, damn, you are a boss.
Because— what was the reason, bitch?
Why? Damn, you got to take an L for this. And this is not because I'm Charlamagne's friend, because I consider you a friend of the culture, but like, you just L after L. Once the tea fell out, we knew there was going to be some shit.
And now I'm like, does he own that river? Remember we were talking about, like, no one questioned the river.
Yes, they did.
Remember? Everybody was like, oh, okay. I thought everybody was like, yay, we love to see the ownership. But now I'm like, is the river yours? You said Revolt is yours. What's the tea? Shit.
Cry me a river. Where is Justin Timberlake? He's fighting Lyme disease, right?
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
This has
everybody
been a rough
got Lyme
year.
Disease in Hollywood. Mm. Bye.
This has been a rough year. All right. Everybody anyway, bye, Dame. All right. Cardi B talks divorce and tour. So, you know, we congratulated her for a bit with her baby at the top of the show. And can I just say the rollout has been rolling all the way out, but you need to roll over here. Cardi B is actively rolling out her album, as we said, and Am I the Drama? And now she's announced she's going on her first ever arena tour. This is her first tour.
She's is it?
So I had the
wait, she's never had a
never
tour?
Remember, no. Okay. Okay, this is after, remember when you introduced me to her? Okay. I bought the meet and greets for it because she was supposed to tour with Bruno Mars, and then she announced being pregnant with Culture. She never went on tour.
But then
tour.
She did
Coachella. She did Coachella pregnant with Culture, but she never went on tour because she canceled it. And then when you introduced me to Cardi,
she
I was
knows,
like, yay.
She knows all this mess. nobody is tracking.
My girl never
this.
Been
so
on
she's
tour.
Never done a tour.
Mm-mm.
And she's doing her first ever mm-hmm. arena tour, dubbed the Little Miss Drama Tour. And she's going to have a whole bunch of little misses and misters around because she has all these kids. Well, anyway, while appearing on Today with Jenna and Friends, Cardi announced the 30-city tour, and she said that after she finishes her album, the promotional run, she's heading to rehearsal. Now, during her album's press run, Cardi also spoke with her good friend Kelly Rowland. During their sit-down, Cardi left Kelly speechless after revealing why she's no longer quick to get close to other female artists anymore, admitting they've slept with her man. Listen.
Shahed, that's why mm-hmm. sometimes when I see like a new little bitch coming up with some shit and I feel like they kind of cool and I feel like people be dragging them,
mm-hmm.
I be sliding in their DMs like, it's like, hey, you know, this temporary. This
you.
Is a good and bad thing, good and bad thing. But sometimes you got to know who to do it with because I have done that to bitches mm-hmm. that done went and fucked my man and all that shit. So it's like, you got to know who you being nice to because it's like these bitches right here, you out there feeling sympathy for them and wishing them the best and these bitches will beat you and fuck your nigga. That you even realize them bitches... You out here like, damn, she look like a nice girl. I feel bad for her. Like, it's like, let me think that, bitch, you start being shady to me. And it's like, oh, bitch,
I'm not
fuck
supposed
you, bitch.
To be kind of giggling at this, but it's how you're delivering it, and it's really throwing me off, because it's not funny, but dank on it, girl, the way you are. I'm like,
that
you
ass
can't.
Is some real shit.
She's
like,
so animated.
It's okay. Some real shit. Like, it's really some real shit.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Dead ass. The internet era is just so insane. Like, it's mm-hmm. like, it's a lot of pressure. It's a lot of...
Well, you can tell that Cardi's gotten really comfortable with Kelly. Now, behind the scenes, what many people don't know is Beyonce and Kelly have been very supportive of Cardi behind the scenes and offered her to be there as a support system to her. And they built this relationship that is very beautiful. And Kelly... is somebody that everybody should want a Kelly in their life. Kelly has really reached out to Cardi on multiple occasions. You can tell the relationship because you can hear how comfortable Cardi's speaking to her. Now, my question is, are you talking about Krishan?
Allegedly.
Wait. Because you remember we had Krishan here at the Jason Lee Show and we asked her in our own way if she canoodled with the Offset. This is the answer that she gave. Take a look.
But Blueface went online and made this wild allegation that went viral that said that you and Offset had slept together behind Cardi's back. You haven't talked about it. Cardi hasn't talked about it.
She responded and said she didn't know if it was true or not. And she said, that's me and him is broken up. That's
right.
What she said.
Right.
But, and I said, no, that didn't happen.
Okay.
My baby dad's a weird ass nigga.
Okay.
He's just trying to like ruin relationships and ruin stuff.
And was that just another act in the circus? Because he told me I was a part of the circus too. Which I love the circus. I ain't gonna lie. I love all of you. I don't see it as it is a circus. It is. But I love all of y'all. Like, I love Blue. I love you. I love Cardi. And yeah, it was a wild thing that just had the internet going.
Yeah, I cleared the air as soon as it came out.
But Jay also tried your ex-bestie.
Everybody's trying to say what the comments say. Everybody trying to run with what the first person said.
And is that for clout?
Because it's different because it's... Yeah, for clout. Mm-hmm.
How do you manage all that? Like, how do you know even who to trust?
You don't trust nobody. That's what you gotta do. You gotta learn not to trust nobody.
Because she could be talking about Saweetie, too.
Allegedly.
Because we know the rumor is that Offset allegedly slept with Saweetie while Saweetie was dating Quavo and he was in the group with... I have to draw a picture. At this point, we should bring back 6 degrees of sexpiration. Now, do you think there's something to be said about that? Where Cardi, who is always the one that they consider to be the drama and always looking out for young girls, and we all know that Cardi opened the door, reopened the door for female rappers after she came and did her thing. Do you think there's something to be said about that?
Yeah, because I feel like Cardi's a girl's girl, and she keeps reaching out to these younger girls, which I think is a good thing. But I mean, absolutely, you got to be careful. But especially if your man is the type that creep.
Agreed. But like, this is why we love Cardi down. I'm telling you, like, everyone feels like they know her, and she just like spilling tea without really spilling tea because everyone.
Should knows. I have pressed Kashawn harder in the interview? Or do I wait till Cardi comes and then like we really get into it?
Yeah, definitely get into it.
Because
yes, to which?
Both? To both. Because I feel like also Cardi, you gave Cardi, I mean, y'all are like besties, but you gave her, you didn't really go there out of respect for her when she was our first guest.
Because I could have asked a Saweetie question.
Mm-hmm. You could have asked a Saweetie question.
Cardi also spoke on her divorce from Offset and how she reached out to Shakira for help while going through her divorce depression. If you don't know, Shakira also had a very public divorce with Gerard, I don't know his last name, Pikachu, who was caught cheating on her. Take a listen.
But there is different heartbreaks. Mm-hmm. Like there's certain heartbreaks or there's certain disappointments mm-hmm. that it just don't really hurt as much as others. Mm-hmm. I have been hurt and I've been disappointed and I've been disrespected and I kind of get over it like in 5 days, a week. It hurts, but then I be over it and I be back to it and it's like whatever, back to my this, back to my that. Mm-hmm. But when it was finishing, like last year, when I just, yeah, it was finishing.
Yeah.
It was for months.
Why didn't you call me?
Because it was nothing that nobody could say.
Okay.
Like I even talked to Shakira and I was like, how do you get over this funk?
Yeah.
And she was like, it takes time, but it's like, it almost felt like whatever people experience when they're going through like withdrawal and like they're throwing up, like I feel like I was withdrawing love. And I'm not even trying to sound exaggerated, like because I can't eat.
Yes.
I can't sleep. Mm-hmm. I can't think. Mm-hmm. I can't work. I can't even look at my kid's face because it's like I just want to cry just looking at him. Like because I can't go out. I don't want to see daylight. I don't want to see nothing. Like I just couldn't. And when you know you're done, I don't know what it is. You just know that it's done in you. Mm-hmm. It just dies in you. But when it dies, it's very painful.
Oh, Cardi.
And you just ain't going, you can't go back no more. It's dead.
Well, I'm very proud of you. Here we are.
I'm happy that you moved on. We're happy that you moved on. We're happy that Offset moved on. Doesn't it seem a lot quieter on, what did she used to go live on social media, on Twitter?
Yeah,
Spaces. It's been very quiet. I mean, I'm happy that you've been able to move on, and I'm happy that you've been able to find a girl's girl to talk to. The thing I don't understand, and maybe it's because of what you said at the top, that once you get close, or once she gets close to a female rapper, that they end up sleeping with her man or doing something diabolical, she doesn't really have homegirls that are in the industry. All her homegirls are either in the hood, locked up, or in court, or going through their process. What do you think she should do? Should she just stop trusting women or altogether or?
No, I don't think she should stop trusting women. But I love that she said like she called Shakira and like she got advice from her. Like, so I think she still has people she can call. And like,
but she ain't going to be friends with Shakira.
But like, I think you mentioned that her and Kelly Rowland may be close in that way. But I think she should have women around too, because women can give a different perspective than we can give, you know what I mean, from their personal experiences. So I think she should keep some, you know, close relationships around. You just got to vet the people you bring in your house. Can't be letting everybody up in your house.
But is it the women that you bring in your house? Because at the end of the day, your man doesn't need to sleep with them. Like, we have to stop blaming women at some point because, I mean, yeah. I don't know, Saweetie, that one. We need to interview Saweetie.
Listen, if I'm
there. Can I say something to all you artists that don't come on our show because you think the show is messy? And I'm not just speaking of like a Saweetie or any of you that don't come on all of these shows that need to be able to promote your albums to our audiences. And then you're off doing diabolical stuff like sleeping with people's husbands. I mean, you do realize that no matter the time that goes by, we're all waiting for you to ask you the question. Everybody. Now, Kelly Rowland may not ask you the question. We're going to ask you the question, but maybe that's why they don't come on the show. Well, either way, listen, Cardi, I'm glad that you're happy. I'm glad that you moved on. I'm glad that the divorce it's not over yet, but you have a baby on the way. Either way, I'm glad that you're figuring it all out and you're going to be going on your first tour. Another round of applause for you. All right, that's it. All right, it's time for thoughts and prayers. It's official. Our girl Cardi B is going on her first ever arena tour. For the first time in 6 years, she's headlining her own tour, heading to 30 U.S. cities. Again, congrats to you, Barty. I'll be going to the Valentine's Day show. I just need to find a boo to go with right in Los Angeles. That's how you get over a divorce. As Cardi ends one chapter, she's now heading for greater and grander horizons across the country, but not as grand as Nick Cannon. Unlike Cardi and her music, that man got divorced and took his penis on tour. Sorry, Nick, but it's true. And he's now taking accountability for his erotic expeditions, admitting it was all part of his trauma response to ending his marriage, from sexual healing to healing past traumas. Nick, we wish you and your penis the best on its journey. And here, we wish the same for Coi Leroy and Trippy Redd, co-parenting in their situation. Like Nick and Cardi, Coi has ended a relationship, and although she wasn't married to Trippy, there is a child involved. Like Coi said, that little girl is their only shared priority. Kudos to Coi for being mature. We love to see parents behaving like adults, unlike Dame and Charlamagne. Those two were bickering like a married old couple. Wait a minute, did he call them auntie? Let me throw in a pause just for you, Dame. Now, Dame made himself a target on the show, and Charlamagne just played with him like putty in his hand. That's a pause. Hell, with all these damn pauses Dame keeps throwing out, one of them boomerang back and paused his alleged deal with Revolt. Karma and the power of the tongue is no joke. Dame, next time, just wait until all this is confirmed. All of it. Make sure it's just out there clear, and we want to make sure that the ink is dried. And speaking of the power of the tongue, it's been speculated that Charlie Kirk's rhetoric led to his murder, and now police claimed alleged texts and alleged engraved shell casings confirm it. Charlie's death is ironic, yet tragic, sad, and just unfortunate. Sending prayers to all his family, and for all the rest of us, let's just pray for better days, unlike this radical administration. Lord help us. That is it for the show. Listen, if you want to text me, you can text 310-388-6463. Until then, have a good one.
Jason Lee Podcast. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.